Well, what do you know? It's Wednesday afternoon. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you every Wednesday noon to 1 on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And you know what? We just have just a big room full of energy, really creative, wonderful, talented people here in Kansas City. Not only the people that walked out from Mark's show, the last program, but ArtSpeak Radio, because we're all about the arts here in Kansas City. And, you know, we're just wanting to let you know what's happening in our community. So today, stellar lineup of folks. We've got Patrick Dobson, writer, author, educator, and he's an iron worker. Also have musician, educator Pablo Sanhueza. He's here in the studio with us, along with Stephen Curtis and Jocelyn Tat Velasquez, who is they're with the community. Oh, you'll find out about them because I don't have the acronym in front of me. And then we also have Boris Tadeth, a drag king, also known as Jessica Boydston, here in the studio to talk all about stuff that's going on at Hamburger Mary's and everywhere else here in Kansas City. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're listening online, too, at www.kkfi.org. We do have podcasts available of each program. So, yeah, you can download those from our website and iTunes. But let's start off with that delightful Patrick Dobson. He's an award-winning writer, scholar, and poet. Now, Patrick has lived and worked most of his life on the fringes of the Great Plains in Kansas City, Missouri. His second book concerns his trip from Helena, Montana to Kansas City in a canoe, and it's called Canoeing the Great Plains and Missouri River Summer, that was published in 2015. Now, his first book, Seldom Seen, A Journey into the Great Plains, was published to critical acclaim in 2009, and that was Canoeing the Great Plains. And he also won the 2016 Thorpe Men Literary Excellence Award and the 2016 High Plains Book Award in Creative Nonfiction. And both books are published by the University of Nebraska Press. Now, he's going to be talking about his most recent publication, a book of poetry. Welcome, my friend, Patrick. I always say my friend, but you are truly my friend.
Thank you very much, Maria. It's good to be here. Thank
you. Yeah, yeah. You know, I love having you in because there's always something going on, whether it's teaching or building bridges, but mostly with your poetry and your writing. So tell us about this latest book.
Well, the book of poems called A Brief Infidelity is really a work of many years now. You know, I have poems, hundreds of poems.
Yeah,
And so it was very difficult to find the right ones for the book, so we had to go with a thematic sort of thing. And ultimately, they're dreamlike trances for the most part, the sort of parallel life we live in from our real life. Mm-hmm. And I think at least people tell me that poems are pretty good, and they speak to them, and I hope to show that off here.
Yeah, sure. But I do want to mention to our listeners that Saturday, March 25th, from 7 to 10, they can hear you live in person at Prospero's Books, and that's in association with Spartan Press and the Prospero Institute of Disquieted Poetics. So this is the book number 27 in their pop poetry series, right?
Yes, it is.
And what is the title of your book?
It's called A Brief Infidelity and Other Trances.
Yeah, well, let's get a sampling of some of your work, shall we?
Okay, sure. I'll read something from the book itself, and then I brought some other ones in case we want to sort of get a wider sample, because I'd hate to give away the whole enchilada. And this one is one of the longer poems in the book. Most of my poems are actually very short, but this is one of the longer poems in the book called Equinox. The days grow long, and you know you should go outside to walk in the rain, feel the moon, get a good sun spank, and sweat in the shadow of shade trees while children play in the grass. Instead, dawn and moon and sunset slip between the blinds. Clock hands point to gloom at the end of the pen you used to sign your name to a piece of paper a boy will find one day on the way home. It will flap in the street before the pile of a building where workers with rough hands chip mortar from brick. The boy will try to make sense of the long sentences, the marks. He'll try to imagine the person the name represents. Then he will drop that paper back into the gutter and wander off to make his marks. The days will grow short, and you will want to go outside to hear bird songs Run your hands over the ribs of your lover. Kiss children playing in the leaves. Rise from the shade into autumn sunset and step onto the box that's been built for you and dance.
I love that, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
I really love that. You know, and it's so different from, of course, other work that I've read from you. It's just kind of beautiful imagery that's flowing through my head when you read that, you know.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and it is different. You know, in my prose work tends to be somewhat poetic, I think, because mm-hmm. These genres tend to run into each other when I'm sitting at my desk. But it's the trying to build those images to make the reader sort of, or the listener, connect with the feelings and the images, because that's basically what most of my poetry mm-hmm. is. It is a feeling or an image or a set of images.
Well, I know that, and I should tell our listeners that you earned a doctorate in American history and literature in 2013, also teaching American history and Western civilization at Johnson County Community College. Do you find any of that sort of pulls itself into your writing?
Oh, yeah. You know, the interaction with students, young people, sometimes can be very frustrating. Sometimes it can be a real wonderful experience. And of course, those things go into my writing. It's as with any writer, or most writers, I would imagine, their personal experiences during their work
sure.
days influence the kinds of stuff that they're writing at the end of the day or when they sit down to write.
And then there's also, the fact that, you're an iron worker. So is there something there that sort of draws you, that motivates or inspires your writing?
Well, most of my life has been devoted to work. I started yeah. working when I was 12. And so work is oftentimes part of, you know, images that come from work. Things being built, things being mm-hmm. deconstructed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hands, arms, muscles, those kinds of things.
But it's interesting because there is such a connection, you say, building bridges and, you know, that. It's almost like constructing sentences and editing.
Oh, yeah. It sure is. It sure is. And it has to be very careful. I mean, these things, while, you know, I really believe that there are poems around us all the time that we can just reach up and snatch, but we only hold them for a second. We're only in charge of them for a second, and then they run off and build their own lives. But
I've written that down. That's mine. That's my poem now.
But poems come out of those experiences, sure. of course, the day-to-day experiences. And not just, you know, I write a lot about memory. My two books were travel memoirs. My website, I have recently, actually probably for the last couple of years, been building a lot of images from memory and dealing with memoir. And so sometimes that creeps into my poems, too, where mm-hmm. maybe the poem isn't floating around in the air so much as it's floating around in memory. And so that's where some of these poems come from.
Yeah. As I knock my mic around. I know that your books inspired a number of people, your journey. Can you just briefly talk about that, the journey that you took?
Yeah, sure. In 1995, I was sort of stuck in life. And when it comes to work, as much as I've worked, I don't do jobs very well. I don't tend to stick around in jobs very much. The longest time I'd ever been at a job was 3 years. And then I'm always off. I kind of figure it out and then have to move on to something else that will challenge me again. But then I was really stuck in life, and I was a single dad, and I was very scared. And I needed to do something to change. And I decided that I'd walk across the Great Plains to Helena, Montana. And when I revealed that to my girlfriend's son, he said, well, if you're going to be all the way up in Montana, you might as well come back on the Missouri River. And at first I discounted that notion, but then it became just a part of that trip. So I walked to Helena, Montana, 1,450 miles, and then canoed 2,200 miles back on the Missouri River.
See, and I think that's important to know, that the backstory of the two books that you've written, just Like I said, it inspired a lot of people that I talked with. If you just tuned in, I am talking to Patrick Dobson, an award-winning writer, scholar, and poet, talking about the new book of poetry that he's written. And that's going to be featured. He's going to be the featured reader Saturday, March 25th from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at Prospero's Books. And that is 1800 West 39th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And Patrick, you mentioned your website too. Can you share that with us?
Yes, the website is patrickdobson.com.
Yeah.
And I publish essays there probably twice a week, three times a week if I have the time.
In a blog too? Don't you have a
blog?
Am I putting you on the spot?
It is blog like.
Instagram.
I'm on Instagram, yes. And I'm all over the place on Facebook and so on.
Yeah.
I even have a Twitter account, though I haven't figured out the redeeming qualities of Twitter yet. But in terms of that blog, it's on the website as Essays Blog,
mm-hmm.
But it's less of a blog than a platform for completed essays about particular
okay.
subjects.
And would you please read another poem from your brief, A Brief Infidelity and Other Trances by Patrick Dobson? Would you?
Okay, this one's called Fighting Fires. Walter Bell fights fires and is fighting one down the street. A cameraman stands out front. A few neighbors in what will be their only TV appearances say an old couple just bought the house and were fixing it up. Behind the crowd, Walter and the other men fight fire, spray water, and rake smoke from embers. I mill around with the others, wondering about lives lived there and about who inhabited our houses and where their memories have gone. I remember it is spring. Time again to clean generations out of corners. But you never get it. You never get it all. The flakes of skin, old food, all the wool turned to moth dust. The only time the house is clean is when it burns, winds up in the wind, or smeared on the face of a guy like Walter Bell.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. And again, the book is called A Brief Infidelity and Other Trances by Patrick Dobson, patrickdobson.com. And can people also purchase that at Prospero's?
Well, for $10, you get in, and yes, you can purchase it. I shouldn't mention that.
That's it.
You go into Prospero's, you get a copy of the book and the reading. And, of course, I can scribble in it to devalue it.
A handshake and a kiss and all that.
That's right. And I can scribble in it to devalue the aftermarket of the book itself.
So this is going to be a first in a series, you think, of published works of poetry for you?
I certainly hope so.
I do, too.
You know, poetry fits in with other writing that I do. Like I said, essays.
Yeah.
I've got another book that I have prepared and I'm trying to find a publisher for. And right now I'm also preparing a book-length academic work. So I'm trying to pay attention to all of these different aspects of writing and the versatility of me as a writer.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I wish you very good luck on your reading.
It'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
I hope to make it worth people's time to be there. And I'm fairly dynamic as a speaker, so I think I'm going to be okay.
And I think you're going to read in your red Speedos, too. That's what I heard.
Yeah, my Steve Zissou Speedos is what I'm going to be wearing.
That'll work. Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on Art Speak with you on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So, yes, we're happy that you've tuned in, listening to us on the radio or online, kkfi.org. Next up, we have Steve Curtis and Diocelyn Tot Velasquez. They're with the Community Housing of Wyandotte County, acronym CHWC. It's a Kansas City, Kansas-based nonprofit organization. Steve Curtis acts as the Director of Community Building and Engagement, and Diocelyn Tot Velasquez is the Community Mobilizer. Now, this Community Building and Engagement team, they strive to create friendly and safe environments, providing families neutral places to gather and interact with one another. They provide programming and resources to inform and promote opportunities for neighbors to work together and address their concerns. So welcome, Steve and Diocelyn.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you for inviting us today.
You bet. So, and this is your first time here, Diocelyn, right?
Yes, it is.
Very good.
I'm excited.
Terrific. So, again, community housing of Wyandotte County, but there's also different groups under that umbrella, right? The Guards and...
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have a couple major components in that. One is affordable housing. We build new houses. We also rehab houses in downtown Kansas City, Kansas, home buyer education. And then Diocelyn and I work in the community building engagement part of our community building engagement program, basically. And we have five projects. We work in the Grandview Corridor, the Epic Clay Studio, the Split Log Farm. We have a coffee shop on Minnesota Avenue, the Cathedral Garden.
So when you say the Grandview Corridor, can you give us some streets and how, you know, what that area is incorporates what sort of the boundaries are in that?
Absolutely. It sort of came out because we always talk about the Central Avenue corridor, Minnesota being the business corridor. Uh-huh. And we kind of thought, well, yeah, that's great. Focus on business. You need those things. But you have to look at the people that live in those areas as well between those corridors because mm-hmm. they're the ones that support the business on the corridor. Mm-hmm. So Grandview runs through the middle of it. It's between Minnesota Avenue and Central Avenue, between 18th Street over by Donnelly College.
Oh, okay.
And the river.
Okay.
So we have five neighborhoods.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's a lot of area to cover, but then some of these families have been there for generations, haven't they?
Many of them have been there for generations. Mm-hmm. And also it's the most densely populated and also poverty-ridden mm-hmm. Neighborhoods in all of Wyandotte County per square foot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Diocelyn, in your work as a community mobilizer, what does your job entail?
So my job pretty much entails just to connect the community with us. And so one of the things that I actually do a lot is walk around the neighborhood and go door to door, talking to people that are outside their house or when they open the door to me, just kind of get to know them, kind of get to know what they want to see in their community and let them know what programs are available for them.
And is that something that you felt important to do, go door to door, rather than have, you know, bring people together in a community center or something? Do you think that's much more effective to go door by door or just, you know, face to face?
I believe it's better face to face. I think you can build a better connection. And one of the main things is that you can build trust with them, especially if they don't know the organization. You invite them over, some might not want to go or they might hesitate because they don't know what it is exactly. So mm-hmm. being able to go door to door and getting it to them, and then afterwards inviting them to a community event or bringing them to a community center, then they'll be more open to do that. But I do think it's more important to do face-to-face, get to know them, let them get to know you, and then build that trust.
You're right. Build that trust. It's really important in what you do, right, Stephen?
It is, absolutely. And she's being pretty modest. She's actually a very big part of the heart and soul of what we do. Diocelyn has been working with me since she was 15, and she graduates from KU this year and is going to be coming on full-time. But she's been a volunteer. She's been a part-time summer employee. She's one of the founding members of the Art Squad and is responsible for most of the 20-something murals that we have in alleyways. So, yeah, she's pretty modest. She's great to work with.
I would say so, yeah. So that I'm sure that that's going to feel good about, you know, bringing her in to the organization early, you know, being associated with it as a younger person, and then being a part of this team that goes out and she knows this community, right?
Definitely. I think once I started volunteering and just getting to know the community, my mentality changed, and I think that's one of the main reasons why my major is as such. My major's focus is community health, and mm-hmm. I actually want to just continue on building programs for the community and getting to know them and deciphering the social determinants that may limit them or that may help them succeed mm-hmm. and how to make it work better for them.
And again, some of the services that you offer and all that, could you explain those again and then with some contact information? Because if folks want to get in hold of you or, you know, look at the website and that, they'll get more details that way.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our newer projects is the A Cup on the Hill, the coffee shop on Minnesota Avenue. Jesse Johnson is the community manager, or is the cafe manager there, has been doing a great job not only making it a place to get a really good cup of coffee, but also a community gathering place for people to come in.
How often does that happen?
Well, we have a Friday morning coffee there. CHWC sponsors one from 8 to 10, 8:30 to 10. Downtown Shareholders has one there on Tuesdays from 8:30 to 9:30, I believe. And the coffee shop itself is open from 7 to 12, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
And some of our other projects, I'll let D'Aslan talk about the aspect of that because she's been the art aspect of that because she's been a big part of it. We started out doing a little community garden in a neighborhood and cathedral, and then the mural program grew out of that. D'Aslan and some of the other young people came up with the idea of abating gang graffiti on alleys, on garages and alleys, and cleaning the alleys so kids had a safe place to play. And that's went over very well. We opened up a clay studio a few years ago, and for many years, for the last couple years anyway, Accessible Arts has been running all the programming there. They've changed their focus a little bit. They have some other things they're doing, and we've recently just taken back over the management of that, and I'll let D'Aslan talk about that because that's one of her primary responsibilities now, and she just created a new website for us, so I'll let her tell you about that, too.
Very good.
Yeah, okay, so I'll just start with the website. It actually started as a project for my school, and then it became something that was more durable and sustainable, so we built up on it, and now it's gonna, our website is cbe/kc.org, and you can go in and check out all of our programs that we have. We have them subdivided. You can get a little bit of information about them, the background, and then you will see a lot of pictures of all the work that we do. We do believe that literally pictures do speak a thousand words, and you can tell what it's doing for our community. So our website is heavily on visual imagery, so everybody can see what we do, the work we do, all the community members that participate in that, and it also has information about what the program's intentions were behind them. As well, most of our programs are directed to being open to anyone, and everybody is welcoming anybody who's in the community, outside the community. Doesn't matter, you know, whether there's a language barrier, a disability barrier, nothing like that matters to us. We want to make all our programs available to anybody who wants to participate. As far as the Epic Clay Studio, we are bringing in new projects for them. We want to, we have done actually Art in the Park for several years now, ever since I started. As a matter of fact, we were going street from street, and we would flyer every week on what street we would be on. Then we built a cathedral garden. We started making the classes there. We moved to Waterway, we moved to Split Lock Farm, and now we want to move it to Epic Clay Studio to be able to offer just more than basic drawing skills or painting skills or different media skills. We want them to actually be able to see what ceramics may be like, and if they're interested in, they can pursue that, because not only do are we going to try to mix in a summer camp at Epic Clay Studio, but we're also going to be bringing in new classes. So introduction to wheel throwing, introduction to building sculptures, etc. They're going to be available soon, hopefully. And besides that, we're also trying to create more of a community outreach so people can know that we're there, that we're able to work with them in different levels and what they would need and what their needs are. We will try to work with them.
Really take advantage of your programming that, that you have offered. Your website is
cbe/kc.org.
Terrific. So that will give you some information about the classes, the services that you offer, and the community that you serve, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll say a lot about that. We're working on a new website for Epic Clay itself, and that'll post all of our classes and all. Right now, we just have a Facebook presence under Epic Clay. One of the artists opened up a Instagram account that is Epic Art KCK.
You know, and you were talking about, you know, lots of pictures and all that. And I think Instagram is a great social media tool because it is just visual. And so that a picture does tell the story.
It's fantastic. And you get people liking it that, you know, you have no idea who they are or where they are or anything else. But it, at least it gives you a good feeling about somebody recognizing the image itself. So it can be a very productive tool, not only by itself, but in conjunction with everything else, pays off.
Now, in that area of Kansas City, Kansas, are you finding that maybe the community is changing itself in terms of the people that have been there for generations? They're getting older, and are you getting an influx of newer, younger folks, immigrants?
All those things. Yeah, we've had a lot of changes over there. A lot of young people, a lot of artists are moving into the Strawberry Hill area. It has great access to I-70 and I-35, to the Bottoms area that is expanding out. Yeah. You're 5 minutes from the crossroads. And it's much more affordable than some other parts of the city.
You know, I was going to say that. That's one of the draws, is that it is affordable.
Absolutely. Yeah, and our whole city is a city of immigrants, always has been. A lot of East European, European, and now we're seeing 10 years ago we had a very large influx of Latinos, and now we're seeing more people from Nepali, Bhutanese individuals moving in. It's just a melding pot. It's so great
because
all the food and sounds and everything.
So I drove out there recently, and I really wanted to go up to this group of people. It was fenced in sort of community garden in Somali, vegetable garden.
Absolutely.
I will have to do that next time.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to mention that's coming up that our listeners should be aware of? Any sort of special events or open house or anything?
Well, I think the big one will be our summer camp. We'll be announcing pretty soon. Okay. We're going to have some help with some volunteer groups. Youth Works is going to be helping us run the camp this summer. And we also are going to be making an announcement about a sculpture that's been donated to us by a local artist. We're keeping it under wraps right now.
Okay.
We want to make it big. But she has offered to donate for Epic Park, which is a vacant lot that young people turned into a park right next door to Epic Clay Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty pumped about that stuff.
Yeah, I do have a special place in my heart for that area. My grandparents, they lived there on the Kansas side, and aunts and uncles, of course, in Strawberry Hill. You know, there's a lot of the history of the people there, the churches. What was this? The Povetitsa that they baked out of that, and I think now they've moved to Lenexa, right?
Yeah, Strawberry Hill, Povetitsa. And before that, or even at the same time of that, there were many individuals, ladies from the churches and all that made Povetitsa and sold it maybe on Fridays or just at the holiday time, gave classes and all that. It's really a cool place to be if you like a gathering place of people from all over the world, really.
And again, you know, the Minnesota Avenue and all that, I think there's some really good changes, some positive changes happening
Very positive. The crime rate, which everyone always focuses on, is the lowest it's been in 30 years. We have new people moving in. Of course, 2 years ago, we were the only coffee shop in downtown KCK. There's now another coffee shop in Cape Cod. Cupcake shop on 6th Street, and a new one opening up, a coffee shop called Split Log Coffee is going to be opening up over on Central Avenue pretty soon, too. So we're pretty excited about that.
Terrific.
And great neighborhood bars.
I want to thank you so much, Steve Curtis and Jocelyn Velasquez, for coming in today. Thank you so much for everything that you do. That's great for our community.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
You bet.
Yeah, no.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd with ArtSpeak Radio here on 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. And, you know, we just have so many more guests to talk with. I'm going to introduce Pablo Sanhueza, who's a Chilean-born. You can wear them or not. It's okay. We're looking at headphones. He's born in Chile and raised a Latin percussionist and band leader. Now, since his arrival to Kansas City in 2003, he has distinguished himself as one of the foremost young exponents of Latin American and Caribbean music across the Midwest. Now, since 2005, Pablo has led a number of contemporary salsa ensembles, his Latin jazz quintet, and many, many freelancing projects. And most recently, he's co-leading the Kansas City Latin Side All-Stars, a project in collaboration with American Jazz Museum. And primarily, he's a self-taught musician who's enjoyed the guidance of jazz saxophonist and composer Bobby Watson, with whom he toured in Europe and appearing at Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland, Red Sea Jazz Festival in Holland, and so many more. We're going to talk about what's happening with the Women in Latin Jazz, KC Latin Jazz All-Stars, with Jackie Zamora. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Maria, for inviting me once again.
You bet, you bet. So there's so much going on in this city, so much going on with your music. Let's talk about the Women in Latin Jazz, the KC Latin Jazz All-Stars, with Jackie Zamora.
Yeah, this was an invitation by the American Jazz Museum for us to present put women at the forefront in at least for this special occasion in which the entire month of March the American Jazz Museum is featuring many women artists. We invited Jackie Zamora. She's the lead singer for the New Mexico Latin Jazz Orchestra. And she also leads other projects besides that in New Mexico. She will be performing at the Blue Room on March 30th. This is a Thursday night with the Kansas City Latin Jazz All-Stars backing her up. We are bringing her to town, and she's Peruvian-born, and most of her career has been here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I really hope that most of you listening to this program get the chance to come and listen to Jackie. It's a free admission show, too.
Yeah. Well, and that's going to be at the Blue Room at the American Jazz Museum at 1600 East 18th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, Thursday, March 30th from 7 to 11 p.m. Women in Latin Jazz, KC Latin Jazz All-Stars. And I just want to talk for a minute about the Latin Jazz All-Stars. Collaborative project of musicians with long-standing presence and impact in contemporary Afro-Latin American music, salsa, and Latin jazz. We were talking in my office just a little bit before we went on air, and I don't know if people are aware how much influence Afro-Caribbean music had on us, on Latin music.
Correct. Yeah, this is something that we have been exploring for many, many years. And we enjoy the support of very diverse audiences across the spectrum, so we continue this mission of presenting contemporary Afro-Latin music. We are also collaborating across the, starting to look beyond the frontiers of the city, mm-hmm. and start collaborating regionally and internationally. So we will be bringing people from Chile also for the carnival next year. All this collaboration is something that has been going on for so many years. Now it's surfacing. It's achieving maturity, the know-how that this type of projects require. So we are getting better also at outreach and promotion, because all of these events have been going on for many years in Kansas City, mostly at a word of mouth level, but now we have the need to approach the airwaves, all media to let the people in Kansas Cityans know that we have this music in town, and continue expanding our presence.
And again, with the Kansas City Latin Jazz All-Stars, I have a list of artists, but does that sort of change and shift just depending on what a person's, what's going on in their lives? I mean,
yeah,
do you have a lot
because
I bet this list that I have now has probably changed since.
When coordinating 8+ people, if we can keep people from one season, 1 year, we're doing well. This is the current lineup.
Most current.
This is perfect. Yeah, this has been the current lineup all this year, and we have the addition of a young Cuban musician, Johnny Cañon, who also just joined the band last month, and he's not in the list. And I take the opportunity to say hi to Johnny Cañon, all the airwaves. He just arrived to Kansas City this year, and he plans on staying here as a young Cuban musician bringing the newest Cuban flavors. So it's an incredible opportunity to us to catch up to the contemporary sounds in the Caribbean, what music is going on there. and also blended with what we happen, with what we have happening here in town.
Yeah, but your music here in town has always been well received by the community because people, you know, love that Latin jazz and the salsa
music.
Yeah.
And it's always have a special place in the heart of Latino community,
absolutely,
especially people who like to dance. And
you know, I will mention to listeners again, Whitman and Women in Latin Jazz, the Kansas City Latin Jazz All-Stars with Jackie Zamora, Thursday, March 30th, 7 o'clock to 11 at the Blue Room, at the American Jazz Museum, 1600 East 18th Street. And the website is americanjazzmuseum.org/Blue Room. Do you have a website, too, that you
want
to share?
Yes, it's paulosanguesamusic.com, www.paulosanguesamusic.com. It says my name. And we are promoting through that website as all the events. We also have another special event featuring women artists, and this is on this Sunday.
Okay.
At the Record Bar. I don't know if it's okay to say
that. Because let's see, this Sunday would be the 26th.
Yeah,
right?
The 26th. Okay. Sunday, Femina X, she's an artist from El Paso, Texas, and she's currently on tour on the west and the East Coast. And the last date of the tour is in Kansas City. March, this Sunday, March 26th. We are opening the show for her with a side project that I have. It's called the Subtropicals. We go more in the cumbia sound, cumbia, electronica, rock, that kind of sound. We still within the Latino sound.
Yeah.
Femina X is a recording artist who's promoting her show, her record, her latest record. And this is a show at the Record Bar on Sunday, 8 p.m. Doors open at 8 p.m.
You know, every time I see you online, it's live playing at the Kill Devil Club or at the Blue Room or over here, over there. You're all over the place, and we love that about you.
I have the opportunity to do this full time. I would have time to do anything else because we keep busy. We like to live stream our shows.
Yes. If you can't make it, you know, the next best thing, right? That's great.
Yes, and we like to live stream the shows and show what we have live, and it's a very interesting response to the people. It seems like the people like to have the live experience, but it's better to come to the show, of course.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it also kind of gives viewers a glimpse of how much fun, how much energy is there on stage.
Yeah, this is
really
a party all the time. Yes, it's one of the most fun parts of playing dance music, because this is defined by that. This is basically music aimed to make people dance.
Beautiful.
And we keep it like that.
Beautiful. Pablo Sanhueza music.com is the website. It is posted on the Facebook event page, I believe. If not, I can add it to it. I want to make sure that it's there, and the KKFI website too. Pablo Sanhueza music.com, americanjazzmuseum.org/blue room for more information about women in Latin jazz. KC Latin Jazz All-Stars with Jackie Zamora, Thursday, March 30th, 7 to 11 p.m., the Blue Room at the American Jazz Museum, 1600 East 18th Street. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maria.
You're
so kind.
We love having you coming in. And, let's bring you in live next time.
Anytime. We can feed in the entire band here, for sure.
We'll do it. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this.
Thank you.
And that's for you, Nick, if you're listening. And if you're listening online at kkfi.org, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, Art Speak Radio. Up next, I have a couple of people in the studio. I've got Jessica Boydston and Boris Tadeth here in the studio. And Boris Tadeth is a drag king, Russian, greasy, hairy, confused, host of the big time show at Hamburger Mary's, Kansas City Sundays, Kansas City. Because there's a number of Hamburger Mary's around the country. Sundays at 8 o'clock. And it's comedy, it's fun, it's drag, it's like Saturday morning cartoons, only there's no cereal. And there's a Russian guy. So trust Mary, you're going to love it. Welcome, Jessica Boydston. How are you today?
Привет, как дела? I'm very happy to be here, Maria.
Jessica?
No, it's actually Boris.
Boris will be talking first. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have my glasses on. So, Boris, tell me, what what's happening in your world, and how did you get to be host of the big show at Hamburger Mary's? What can we learn from you?
Well, so back in Russia, I was the host of the third highest rated late night talk show. It came only third to the Jay Lennon show. So from there, I moved here to Kansas City because I wanted all of my dreams to come true. And I figured, why not go to Kansas City? Hamburger Mary, she's a very lovely lady. She called me as soon as I got here, and she immediately wanted me to start doing a show. So that's how I got here.
Well, Boris, you have a lot of charisma, so I can understand why Hamburger Mary wanted you there at the big time show.
I was lucky enough to find a lovely lady. She's very beautiful. She is Licky Mavaj, that is my host, my co-host in life, actually. We do the whole show together when we can, and she's wonderful. So shout out to her. Hello.
Boris, what do you like best about Kansas City? What did you find exciting here when you came from Russia?
Oh, well, I mean, all of the downtown lights, you know, the fact that there's electricity after 9 p.m., no bread line. So, I mean, I was very excited for all of that. Denim, there's a lot of denim here.
Denim,
I love American blue jeans.
Yeah, it's so different. And what about the weather? It's got to be a lot warmer here than it is in Russia.
It's amazing. Although I have a lot of furs now that I cannot wear anymore. So that's unfortunate.
So you're there at Hamburger Mary's, and that's at 3700 Broadway here in Kansas City, Missouri. And hamburgermarys.com is the website. But what inspires you to write comedy? What's so funny?
I think Jessica can answer this question.
Let me see. Is she back? Jess?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, there she is. Hi, Jessica. Welcome. This is Jessica Boydston.
Hi, I am Jessica Boydston. And yes, what's so funny? Boris is just funny in general, and I think that subversive humor is the basis of Boris and the show. And
he's got an irresistible face. That
yes.
face. I love yes. that face. So much expression.
Well, it's perfect for today because it's the best face for radio. So... I don't know what's so funny about Boris. He's just very confused, and it's a way for me to express my comedy and my humor and, live out my dreams of being a writer for SNL.
Well, you know, and he's, there's something so he's very innocent in some ways, very childlike, but in other ways, he's a little risque, too. Because after all, he's Boris to death.
Yes, definitely.
To death.
he's risque. It's kind of the full circle thing where it's, you know, all the way around the spectrum that he's so right or so wrong that he's right, you know.
I love that. So how did you find Boris? I mean, where was he? You just kind of like poof.
Yeah,
there it is.
It was all a name, and then I just kind of built my character around, you know, the name of Boris to death and who this Russian guy is and, you know, where he comes from and kind of what makes him tick.
And he has no filter.
No filter.
You know, and I think for me, when I found Boris to death, it was through Boy, a mutual friend.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's the wonderful thing about Facebook is that, well, or maybe it's not so wonderful, but for me, it's, you know, finding out new people and personalities and information that I didn't know existed before. And with Boy, it was certainly that connection with Boris to death.
Yes, yes. He made a fantastic dating video for Boris. And it was amazing, and it got a lot of views, and I couldn't be more happy with it. Boy's also been in the show, Hamburger Mary, so all kind of ties together.
He's just really lovely. I can say that you can find Boris to death on Instagram at Boris_to death.
And it's TUDE. TH.
You know, it was really interesting because when I was writing this out and I said, is that Boris Tudeth? you know, and it's like, oh, it's Boris to death. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that. So, you know, he's just an interesting character. I'm sure he's just a heck of a lot of fun to play.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. There's, you know, carte blanche as far as being Boris. I can say anything, I can do anything, and, you know,
really kind of push it.
Yeah, you know, no one gets mad at a clown.
Well, and I want to ask you, in your opinion, how are there very many drag kings in the world of drag? Do you see more, of course, I'm right now just watching RuPaul, you know, back-to-back-to-back episodes. But are they as popular or as...
No, I would not say that they're as popular. I feel like there are more now probably than there have ever been.
Is there room to grow in that?
I think that there's room to grow, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. I think that drag is an art form. And so, you know, it's... whenever you think that you've reached, you know, a limit or whatever, there's always more places that you can take it and other, you know, avenues that you can explore as far as just gender expression and also artistic expression.
And with a live audience, performing in front of a live audience, you just kind of never know where it's going to go? Or do you have some sort of a script, some sort of idea how you want the evening or the performance to go, and then
not really.
Kind of play it by ear?
I mean, when I first started out, I would practice, like, you know, doing a whole choreography, and then as soon as I hit the stage for the first time, every single move fell out of my head. Yeah. And ever since then, it's just kind of winging it. Sometimes I'll do specific choreography or have something in mind, but usually... I don't know, Boris, I guess, just kind of takes over, and it's like anything that Boris. Jessica had planned is now out the window, and he's, you know, just driving the car.
That's so funny. Well, and for our listeners who are interested, again, Boris to Death is on Instagram and on Facebook, kind of Facebook page. Any other social media? YouTube or?
Yeah, there's a YouTube. It's Boris to Death, same thing. It's all the same spelling. It's Boris and then Tudeth.
So the big time show, tell us just a bit about what to expect when you sit down at Hamburger Mary's.
So it's unique from a drag show. We incorporate a lot of like games or comedy pieces. We do the news kind of a la SNL and really like try to infuse a lot of comedy into the show. So it's kind of like drag comedy. I would say that the performers who we have are usually very in your face, kind of, you know, over the top, and we really try to bring a fun experience as far as like throughout the whole, you know, show.
Very interactive with the audience.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you'll be getting on stage at some point if you come to the show.
Híjole. I don't know about this one. So Boris to Death, Drag King, Russian, Greasy, Hairy, Confused. I love that.
Thank you.
Know, and so much fun. You know, can we just, I'm going to say goodbye to Jessica Boydston. Can we just get Boris in here just for a second and say goodbye to Boris and
have him fun back?
You
thank
bet.
You.
Boris.
Here I am.
Boris, thank you so much for coming in today. You, do you feel like coming back sometime and sharing
absolutely.
Some more stories?
I would love to come back anytime you would like to have me. I would be honored.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. And you know what? That closes out another episode of Art Speak Radio. I want to say thanks to Patrick Dobson, Pablo Sanhueza, Stephen Curtis, Jocelyn Tat Velasquez, Boris to Death, and of course, Jessica Boydston. Thank you so much for coming in today. Next week, March 29th, it's like the end of March. We've got John Teasdale with Literacy KC, Ahervers with Lawrence Art Center, Professor Artist Warren Rosser from the Art Institute, and painter-illustrator Brent Watkinson. We might be able to squeeze in a little bit of the Wormwood Collective in there, too. Stay tuned next at 1 o'clock for Jeff, what is his name? Jazz afternoon at 1 o'clock. He's going to be right after Art Speak Radio. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you all for listening online. Thank you so very much. Honey, I'm coming home.